Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good afternoon and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. We've been talking about hearing the voice of God and being able to discern His voice, and also to be able to distinguish what it is that He's saying to us. We've talked about when He speaks in general terms, basically recognizing that He is speaking something to us, and that's always a great place to start, to have that confidence that He's speaking and you're hearing from Him. And again, we learn this through a process. This is not just a teaching. This is a lifestyle. This is how we get to know anybody. As we spend time with them, we start to learn how they think, what their goals are, how they handle situations, what their character is like. And this is really the basis of communication. So when we think about that in terms of how we have a relationship with God, it's at the crux of it, spending time with Him and allowing Him to reveal Himself to us so that we can learn how He operates, what He thinks, what's on His heart by experience, and not just something we're taught. We're not interested in lessons anymore. We've been there, done that. We need to know, we want to know who He is, what we're here for, what's it all about, what are we on the right track? And these are things He wants us to learn. And we've spoken before about how He very often hides Himself and He puts these desires and these questions in our heart because He wants us to pursue them. Because the end result of those questions is relationship with Him. So we can be confident that it's not that He's trying to teach us something. He's trying to have a relationship with us. So He reveals His word to us. He makes His voice known to us. And then He withdraws and gives us greater and greater challenges and more specific information so that we can ask for more. He makes us thirsty. He makes us want more. And that's one thing we never want to be, is satisfied and content with our relationship with Him. There's the difference between that, okay, I've had enough, and rest. As soon as you have tasted Him, you will begin to get a sense of what that rest is. And if you've not had an experience of what His rest is, ask Him. Once you've experienced His kind of rest, His being at home, you'll get an idea of that distinction between our reality and eternal reality. You can be at rest, at perfect rest, perfect peace, perfect calmness, in the midst of depression, rejection, having just made a whole bunch of bad mistakes, been criticized by people you trusted, lost your job, lost your house, and still be at perfect peace, perfect rest. because it's not emotional, it's not circumstantial, it's not soulical. And again, if you have never experienced that, ask. Ask the Lord. Tell him that you want to know what that rest is like. Be forewarned, though, because once you do, he is going to draw you to want more. And as that happens, you'll need to change. You'll need to start changing your lifestyle, what you're spending time on, what you're spending your energy, your effort, even your money on. And we often have a hard time with change. Most of us do. So be prepared that there's going to be change, and it's going to be, some things are going to be hard. But it's worth it. You're going to have to change at one point or another. You might as well do it now and reap the full benefit of what he has for you right now. So he speaks to us in general terms, and we accept that generality. But he also could be very specific, and we pursue that specific detail. He also speaks to us to give us direction when we're seeking guidance or we need a course correction. He also speaks to us to give us confirmation, to confirm either something, a decision we've already made, or something we are not sure that we've heard from him. He will confirm it. We want to start talking today about the secrets that he shares with us, the mysteries. Sometimes he speaks to us things that we don't understand at the time. Often, this is to draw us into a deeper understanding of his ways by encouraging us to put other things aside. Both things that take up our time and also beliefs and doctrines that are based on tradition, history, convenience. In order to get the answer from the Lord, not by figuring it out, by talking to those who know better or reading every book on the subject, but by hearing it from him. He gives us mysteries so we will seek out the answer. Not so we will just believe in it or just have faith in it, but so that we will seek him. There will also be times that we are to accept what he says without understanding it. Remember, but he will tell you that. God is under no obligation whatsoever to explain himself. Why he tells us clearly some things, but not others. And one of our big challenges is to not draw conclusions. Never think that you have all the information you need. This is how so much Christian doctrine has gotten so off track from the character and reality of God. Is God reveals a little bit, and rather than taking that little bit and seeking him for more information, we like to take that little bit and we'll fill in the blanks. Just look at all the many denominations. They've all taken a little bit of what God has said, and they filled in the blanks. And very often those blanks accommodate temperament, accommodate history, accommodate personality. But we want the truth with a capital T. And it's not so much that God changes his mind or changes what he reveals to us. It's he's creative. He reveals himself differently sometimes. Sometimes it's what we need. Sometimes we're dealing with something that he doesn't want to talk to us about. He wants to talk to us about something else, but he's gotten our attention by tapping us and showing us, tapping us on the shoulder and showing us something that we are interested about. But that's what he used to get us to spend time with him. God is under no obligation to reveal a certain mystery. You may be incredibly curious about something, and you're free, and please do ask him about it. But don't draw any conclusions that because you're interested in it, he's obligated to speak to you about it. He's not. But anytime you turn to him, that's all. That's the best place to start. You're starting in a right relationship with him. Lord, this is really cool. I'm interested in this. How does time work? What is really, if heaven and hell aren't what we think, what are they? What happens after we die? What happens before we are born? What is the soul really made out of? How come people have sometimes, some people have great lives here on this earth and some people have rotten lives here on this earth? How come some people know you on this earth and some people don't? These are all great questions. And we can all have curiosities about it. And you take them to God. And you go from there. And he may talk to you about it, but we never want to insist on it. Why does he share these things, these mysteries, with us? Why does he give us hints of other things going on that we have not yet experienced? Who you truly are in your spirit already knows the answer to all these questions. Any question you could ever have, you already know the answer to. And in your spirit, you already know why the Lord doesn't want you to have understanding in your soul realm. But as your confidence in your relationship with God grows, you'll simply be able to accept the situation and enjoy what the Lord has given. I don't understand what's going to happen after we die, what's next after this earth. But I know it will be exciting, and I know it will be satisfying, and I know it will be more opportunity to know God, to know him. And I think I have an inkling that the more we know now, the more we know him now, the more we are changed into his likeness, spirit, soul, and body, to become one now, the better we'll have it, the more prepared we will be for whatever comes next, and the more we'll be able to just keep moving into the vastness that God is. So we learn to enjoy him now so that we can continue to enjoy him in whatever comes next. Now, he also loves to show his friends what is on his heart before he does things, or after, or during. But there are qualifications for being his friend, for being someone he can trust. We live in a culture and a time that is so different than what we are looking at historically as other. The times have changed so drastically. we expect to be able to find out everything we need to know and have control over it. But God wants to reveal what's on that, his heart. And we need to learn to be still, to still our own heart, and to not try to do our own research, our own investigation, and let him, not force him, but let him reveal himself to us. So sometimes he reveals secrets to us that he wants us to keep secret as well. To be his friends, to qualify, we have to be able to keep a secret. God wants to be able to trust us with things that are important to him. Part of the process of getting there is entrusting us with secrets and seeing how well we handle them. And here's how to handle the secrets of the Lord. Ask. Just like everything else, ask. Say the Lord has given you an experience or a revelation or an insight or knowledge or even a gift. Lord, is this something you want me to share? And if so, with whom? Or is this something just between us? This is a big issue for many Christians today, is we have such a hard time thinking of our relationship with God as enough. Instead, we think of it as a teaching, that God is other, that he is going to give us information, and then our duty and our job is to share it with others. If God shares something with you, it may simply be because he wants to share it with you. He wants to talk to you about it. He wants to confide with you. But if you're going to go and spread it around out of season, out of time, he can't share his heart, reveal his secrets. And he wants to. So this is part of learning to hear his voice. I think one of the greatest marvels of self-control was when God revealed to Daniel what he would do in the future, then told Daniel to seal the vision, to seal it. This is not for now. How many of us could do that? Seal the vision for another generation, for people who have not been born yet. It's something to think about. Are we, this is not about being a Christian. This is not about qualifying. This is about habit. Are we able to keep a secret? If God shared mysteries, would he be able to say, now, okay, now just keep this between the two of us? Would that be enough for you? Would that be enough, that just the two of you are in on it? Now, another thing that he shares with us that we also have very often a real hard time with is simply he responds and he speaks to us through silence. We live in a 24/7 news cycle, where our minds and our hearts and our ears are bombarded with information, music, noise, chatter, 24 hours every day of the week. part of our learning to hear God will involve making a distinct effort to quiet our senses. We'll learn how to do the best we can to shut out these other noises. But the greatest difficulty often comes with shutting out or shutting in our senses, bringing our thoughts into understanding Him rather than focusing on what's going on out there. And I see we have someone who'd like to join us online. Area code 435. Let's see if I can... Welcome to the program. Who am I speaking with?
Hi.
Hi. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, my name is Keisha.
Hi, Keisha. Did you have a question today about what we're talking about?
No, I'm just listening and trying to get some word from God, that's all.
Okay. Well, also, if you're signed in, feel free to chat, to post any questions you might have, or if you need something that you, as you said, want to hear from the Lord, let me know there as well, and we might be able to have a conversation there as well.
Okay. Sounds
okay?
Good. Thank you.
Okay. I'll
good
just put
way.
You back on pause then. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. So when He speaks to us through silence, it is very often, I like to think of it as downloading, is He is just pouring Himself into us without our involvement, without our interference or filtering. And to me, this is often what happens in our listening time, in our waiting on Him. It's we don't know what He's downloading into us during that time very often until something else comes up, until there's another opportunity where we are changed, our mind is changed, where we have an answer to a question, where we are wondering, how did, you know, what happened there? Maybe it's even where we know how to pray about something, about how to take authority over something, about a reality of something. And it's just amazing that it is in that silence, which we often have the hardest time with, that God often does His greatest work. It is generally in knowing His silence that we come to recognize His presence. It is in His silence that He does His greatest work in, through, and on our behalf. And again, it's in that silence that we have the greatest taste, and He stirs up our hunger for that rest. And this is our inheritance. And this is one of those areas where we have a choice. When we exert our rights as sons, when we say, God, you have to do this because I have done this, we are trying to, excuse me, we are trying to get Him to respond based on the law, on an obligation, that if we do something, He is obligated or obliged to do something else. But as sons, I don't want a blessing. I want my inheritance. It's something that is mine, that I already have, not because I deserve it or I earned it. but because I'm his son. And when I then can say, Lord, okay, what is my inheritance? We're on the same side. He's not gifting me. He's not doling out. I don't need to ask him, Lord, I need some more of this. I need some more of that. I love the example of the prodigal son, which is really all about the difference between a blessing and an inheritance. That rich man had two sons. They both had an inheritance. They both could have enjoyed it all the time they were his sons. The one gained his inheritance and went out and squandered it, but then came back. And the father went ahead and still gave him that robe and ring, which were signals of his authority and ownership and part, you know, being a son. And the son who didn't leave, but never availed himself of his inheritance. What did the father say? Any time you could have gone out and killed the fatted calf and thrown a party. They were both waiting for the old man to die. And the old man would have wanted to teach them how to live with their inheritance while he was still living. That's where we are. Let's not wait till we die to learn how to handle our inheritance. It's available now. We are co-inheritors with Christ and joint heirs with him, not lesser heirs, co-inheritors. Everything Jesus inherited, we've inherited. And everything that goes with that. All the good, the difficult, the challenges. We can come before our Father with boldness and say, Daddy. Say, Abba. Say, Daddy. Dad, what's going on here? Dad, can I borrow the car? Now, he's a good dad. He's not going to let us get into trouble by giving us the keys to the car when we'll just go out and wreck it. First, we need to learn how to drive. But when we understand his high hopes for us, he's not trying to move the standards so high. Oh, we have to be perfect in order to achieve anything that we think is of value to God. He doesn't need our help. Remember, you are his purpose. You are what he's doing on this earth. Now, there's a lot of stuff going on in the earth today. There's wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and threats of earthquakes and promises of earthquakes and prophecies of earthquakes. And, yeah, everything is going to heck in a handbasket. And God can change it in the blink of an eye. And most of it has always been going on. There's always been wars and rumors of wars. There's always been earthquakes and rumors of earthquakes. So what? Can you silence your heart enough to say, okay, but Lord, what about us? What shall I do? What are we learning today? What's on my schedule? What training class are we involved in? You can count on him that whatever he has for you tomorrow, he's training you today If you need to not be somewhere next month, he will move you today. He will move you before then. There's nothing, there's no amount of control or pleasing God, if you will, that can get him to move in a way that he doesn't want to. Now, he's going to make some changes. He makes changes in our lives. He makes changes in the world. He always has. He always will. Our goal is that we could even be available to know about it ahead of time and be able to keep our mouth shut. Not so that we can influence others or be in the right place at the right time, but just so we can be God's confidant, so that we can enjoy our relationship with him and enjoy what he has for us personally next. So next we're going to talk, next week we're going to talk about how to respond to what you've heard God say to you. And obviously, as we go through everything else, it's always going to be you go to him and you ask. But specifically, how do you do that? Are there specifics? Are we making it much harder than it needs to be? So we'll pick it up there next weekend. And until then, you can always drop me a line at Diane@wecanprepare.org. Or you can send me a message through Blog Talk Radio. And, of course, sign up over at Diane or wecanprepare.org or DianeThomasMinistries.org. So thanks for tuning in. I hope you are encouraged. God has a lot up his sleeves, and it's for our good. It is for peace and rest. And he is judging us for good, not for evil. Have a good rest of the weekend. And again, thanks for tuning in.